Welcome to this edition of Radio Goes to the Movies. I'm Joy LaClaire. The Bozeman Film Society is screening local filmmaker Nnamdi Kanaga's film Water Girl at the Ellen Theatre on Wednesday, May 28th. Originally from Nigeria, Nnamdi came to Bozeman to study at MSU. In 2020, Nnamdi wrote and made his directorial debut with The Hail Mary, Montana's first film with an all-black lead cast. Nnamdi is an ardent advocate for authentic African storytelling and hopes to promote the value of cultural integration through his films. In 2024, he wrote, directed, and produced Water Girl, his debut full-length feature film. It is a supernatural film drama based on the Ogbanji mythology and pays homage to the truthfulness of old Nollywood storytelling while exploring new horizons of modern-day cinema. Nnamdi also holds a strong belief that he will be the first Nigerian-born and bred to win an Oscar. We spoke with him on May 13th, 2025. Welcome to Radio Goes to the Movies, Nnamdi Kanaga. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very grateful to be here.
Nnamdi, your second feature-length film, Water Girl, is screening at the Ellen Theatre on May 28th. It's a supernatural drama set in Bozeman, Montana. But before we get into the specifics of Water Girl, your earlier film, The Hail Mary, was also set in Montana, and it had the distinction of being the first film ever produced with an all-black cast in Montana. It won the Audience Choice Award at the Africa International Film Festival in Lagos in 2021. Congratulations for that, as well as the other awards it got. At the beginning of that film, it says that it's based on true events. Would you tell us a bit about The Hail Mary?
2019 holds a special place in my heart because it was the year I had like a bunch of film ideas I wanted to do. And I think I have a lot of stories that I'm going to do that might last me like a couple of years, which all came to me in 2019. So that was when I started thinking about The Hail Mary, late 2018, early 2019. I wanted to talk about the father-son relationship and dynamics and how typically like most, not all, but some young boys have this thing that they struggle with their relationship with their fathers. You know, I wanted to navigate that as someone who also, you know, had some kind of estranged thing with my dad back then in Nigeria. And I wanted to just explore that and see the dynamics of like father-son relationship. Unfortunately, my dad passed away in 2019 while I was still in MSU. So that was where it hit me hard. He was supposed to come to Bozeman for my graduation, but that thing happened because he passed away. So when that happened, I was going through the grief process and I said, you know what? I think it's in my trying to understand who my father really was. I wanted to use the story to like explore that dynamics. And then something very weird happened on my way. I was going to Missoula to do something, and then on my way back to Bozeman, we had branched this McDonald's somewhere and we're eating, and I meet this young black boy who was just there. And you know, I mean, typically when you see a fellow black person in Bozeman or anywhere in Montana, you are excited, right? You wanna, you know, say hi because it's like sort of like an unusual sighting. Then 2019, well, there were not really a lot of black people around, so it was very rare. So I reached out and said, hey, what's up? And we got talking. And at that time, my dad had passed away like 2 days ago. So we're talking, and then he told me he moved from Chicago to Missoula because he and his dad got into a fight or whatever about being in the arts and stuff like that. And then what was a casual encounter became an emotional moment because I had to like say, hey, you have a chance to go back to your dad and talk to him. I just lost mine 2 days ago. So, and then all of that, and he just started crying, and it became this moment of like emotional roller coaster where we got to like become vulnerable. So when that incident happened, I went back to Bozeman. I sort of like pondered upon it a little bit, and I said, you know what? I think I need to tell this story, you know, just to be able to like navigate this dynamics and also use the opportunity to tell other people like me that still have their dads around that, hey, I know you're going through a lot and it feels hard, but if you have a chance to reach out to your fathers and find out why they are the way they are or why things are the way they are, take the opportunity, because when it's gone, you're not going to get it back again. So that was the main reason why I made the film. And surprisingly, the guy who plays the lead role was going through the same thing with his dad. And then on the day of the premiere at the Emerson Theatre, he says to the audience, "Namdi, I never told you this before, but my dad and I have something going on and it was really bad. But after making this film with you, I went back to New York and I called my dad. And now we are starting to build our relationship again." And that made me feel so happy and sad at the same time. I was happy for him because at least the film is doing something. And I was sad because I would never get the opportunity to do the same with my dad. But I feel like, you know, the movie being helpful to people is good in a way. So that's just an overview of how we got to make the Hail Mary at that time.
Well, Water Girl, which is screening at the Ellen on May 28th, is also a parent-child story, but very different from the Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be guilty of introducing any spoilers, so I'll leave it to you to explain to our listeners about Water Girl.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. Water Girl is, like you said, it bears some semblance with the Hail Mary in terms of parental relationship with their children, but in this case, mother-daughter. It also touches motherhood and childbirth. So basically, this one is very different because it draws from African folklore. Most people who get into marriage is mothers. They want to have kids, right? And that's like a universal understanding. But it's a little bit different back in Africa because marriage in Africa is about children. That's the core of marriage is childbearing. The core of getting to marriage is for you to have kids and procreate and have like a legacy that goes beyond your lifetime. That's how it is back home in Africa. So every woman who gets married ultimately wants to have a child. And when that child doesn't come, it comes with some kind of pressure from family or shame or burden or guilt. So the story is set in Bozeman with this Nigerian woman who lives here. She came for school and then ends up getting married to a professor. And they've lived for years without children. But she's had miscarriages. She's lost her children over and over again. So years after, she bears a daughter. When the daughter comes in, she is excited. She's very happy to have her child. But when the child is about to turn 18, she starts to have nightmares. And turns out the child is actually off the water, and the water wants the child back. I'm not going to say too much, but that's just a basic overview of the film. It draws from this folklore back in my tribe. I'm Igbo from Nigeria. So we believe in children that all they do is they come to the earth to the same parents and they die and are reborn over and over and over again to the same parents. That's the folklore that this film draws from. And I'm setting it here in Bozeman to create this sort of like a marriage between the African culture and the Western society where water is the universal element that binds these two completely different environments, right? And so when this happens here, it feels natural because we are bound by one unique element, which is water. And so that's how, you know, it makes it very possible for this to happen here in Bozeman. So, but generally, it's about motherhood, love, family, with a little bit of supernatural. The universe is bound by the natural and supernatural. So that's just an overview of the whole film. I feel like you need to be there to watch to really understand this beautiful marriage of Nigerian culture and Bozeman culture.
I would have to say there's a bit more than just a little supernatural.
Oh, well, okay.
But without giving any spoilers, you have a wonderful cast. And one other thing I would say, this also has in common with the Hail Mary is grief. The mother figure, Nkechi, is played by Stella Damasis. My goodness, you really put her through it, Namdi. She has some really intense scenes. As you mentioned, she has three miscarriages before she finally has her daughter, and each one just rips her apart, and she does an incredible job of portraying that. But she also has a dual role in this film. Is it giving too much away to talk about her dual role?
She plays a mother in two parallels. She plays a mother in one parallel is a mother who really wants her daughter to be protected, to be loved, And another parallel is a mother who, she's more like a mother who is more like a timekeeper or like a guardian. Like, hey, your time, you need to do what you need to do and leave. So you have to be there to watch the film to really understand these two parallels. But in both parallels, she's a loving mother who cares for her child. At the same time, a mother who wants her child to do what needs to be done.
Listeners will just have to see for themselves.
Exactly.
We'll leave it mysterious.
Yes, let's do that.
And then Nkechi's daughter is Kamsi, portrayed by Mariah Faith Jackson. And mm-hmm. she also just does a sterling job. Tell our listeners about her situation.
So Mariah, who plays Kamsi in the film, she's the daughter, she's the young girl, the child who eventually stays after three miscarriages. I don't know if I want to call her like a conduit, but I would say she's more like, in this case, maybe a symbol of hope, a symbol of love, of joy, what Nkechi has been craving for a very long time, and eventually she has it. And she comes to the world to provide peace to her mom, who has wanted a child for the longest, right? And so when she comes, she begins to discover a dual personality, like another person that exists in her world. And now she doesn't really understand what's going on, right? So she goes through a series of personality crises that eventually one of her personality takes over. Kamsi is just joy that suddenly becomes pain, but it just tells you the reality of this mysterious concept the film really talks about. But you need to watch the film to really understand what they go through. So yeah.
She has a love interest played by Oliver Heaton. Jennings yeah. is his name. It's a very charming story. They're in the same class in high school, and he clearly wants to develop a relationship with her. She's not as open at first anyway, and I'm sure many in the audience will relate to those early phases where it's awkward, you know, making the first step, will this work, won't it work? So there's that. It becomes clearer and clearer that something's going on, and Nkechi, the mother, takes Kamsi to the doctor after an incident, which is quite frightening for a mother. Mm-hmm. And their doctor is Dr. Ada, who is also Nigerian, right?
Yep.
She has her feet in both worlds, too. Mm-hmm. She's a medical doctor, but she's also wise in the ways of, well, how would you express it in terms of Nigeria?
She represents the ideal Nigerian woman or Nigerian person that understands the place of science and tradition, first of all. So she's a medical doctor who understands the beauty and value of medical science. And at the same time, she also knows that there's a thin line that draws and separates science and tradition. She tells Nkechi, hey, I'm a doctor. I take care of people. This is my job. But when it gets to the point where we need to draw a line and say, hey, this is no longer medically possible. This is beyond medicine. We need to move from that point. She tells Nkechi, I want you to understand that at this point, it's no longer medicine. It's now tradition. You have to go back and revisit the ways of our ancestors to get this solved. So it just tells you, you know, in the world today where everybody comes in and is like, that's what the film also like tries to like analyze subtly. People, you know, leave their original places, come to a new place, and sort of like they forget where they're from, they forget what their culture is about and assimilate into a new culture, which is not bad. But at the same time, it's also good to really understand, like, while you are in a new place, you are also a part of where you're from. Your new environment doesn't change or take away your original identity. So it's very important and very pertinent to really like hold on to your origin wherever you find yourself. So Dr. Ada is more like a voice of reasoning, if you say, that sort of like reminds people that are moving around the world not to forget where they're from. Because certain things that happen to us are a function of where we're from. So that's basically what her place in the film is. It's more like a voice of reasoning, letting us know that, hey, you might be anywhere in the world, but you will never not be your ancestry. First generation immigrants generally who move around and tend to like forget their origin and stuff like that.
Florence Onuma is the actress who plays Dr. Ada. Did I read somewhere that she came out of retirement to play this role?
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. So Florence Onuma she used to be a very big Nigerian actor, just like we have in America, Hollywood. In Nigeria, we call it Nollywood. She used to be a big actress back then. I actually watched her growing up. When I was a little boy, she was like on the screens then. So when I wanted to make this film, I wanted someone that represented the old times, you know, someone that really understood the old times and the culture of our ancestors and how it was then. Not to say she's an ancestor or anything, but she made movies around the time when culture was like the biggest thing in film. So I wanted someone that really understood the value and essence of our cultural power. I heard that she had moved to D.C. So while I was preparing to make the film, I had to travel to D.C. I went to her office and I was begging, like, please, I need you to be in the film. There's no other person that can do this role. No, you know, I was like, oh, no. So I begged. She was like, okay, you're so persistent. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to do it. But where is it going to be filmed? I said, Montana. Montana? That's far. That's cold. I said, please, I'll put you in a hotel. I'll do this. You know, she was like, okay. And then she comes and she really enjoys it. And it was an amazing time. We filmed and she really loved it. She was like, I really want to be back. I said, no problem. I'm going to work on something else. I'll bring you back here. So it was really amazing to have her come. Most of the Nigerian actors was their first time coming to Bozeman. So it was really a beautiful opportunity to really have them enjoy the Montana space and just create something really beautiful and new.
That brings up all the things you did to make this film. I'm going to rattle off what I know and you tell me if I missed anything. You wrote, directed, produced, did the casting, did the props and set, special effects and makeup, production design, co-sound design. You scouted the locations and you arranged the music performed by Blessing Agu. One of the themes is grappling with the idea of possession versus an individual's controlling her own actions. Would you agree that that is one of the themes in the film? That's certainly what I got out of it.
Oh, that's a very, very great point to just raise now. You know, I never thought about it like that before. This is my first time. You just give, oh my gosh, that great job. That's really good. Honestly, I think it's like a half and half situation, right? It's a case of like, I would say it's like cause to effect, if you put it that way. I know you've seen the movie, so you know that it's a case of cause to effect because nothing just happens from the ordinary. There must be a trigger or there must be something that would cause something to happen. So I would say, you know, in the case of Water Girl, it's a result of one's action leading to multiple reactions. That's how I would describe it. More like, you know, when we do certain things out of desperation or out of need or whatever, and then something happens, and maybe we get what we want temporarily, but then again, a damage is made, and whatever actions we take, it doesn't tell you the kind of damage that will be caused, right? Well, a damage is going to be made. And then when the damage is made, it's sort of like a domino effect that leads to so many other things. So that's what the case of Water Girl, which is very interesting because there's also going to be a prequel, sort of like dives into Nkechi's backstory a little bit to give people more context as to like why she's going through what she went through in Water Girl. So the prequel goes deeper into her story from Nigeria, her upbringing and everything. So we get to understand I know you've seen the movie. So if you notice in the movie, in the beginning part, when Kamsi was like, tell me about your family, I want to know that. She's like, no, it's nothing. Exactly. There is in fact something, you know. So I'm going to give the audience a prequel to give you an understanding of why she didn't want to tell her daughter about her past.
Oh, we'll look forward to that. Is that partly why the Igbo proverb, "The ocean never swallows anyone with whose legs it has not come in contact," the cause effect thing?
Yes. That's perfectly the beauty, the reason why I chose that part. Because I was going through, when I wrote the script, I wanted to highlight an Igbo proverb to like guide, so in some way, Nigerian filmmaking and storytelling and theater to an extent sort of like mirrors the Greek theater, whereby there's always a chorus, there's always something that guides the audience and tells them what to expect or what is coming to them, you know. So I wanted to have that, to explore that particular part of our storytelling. So I really went deep into like searching for proverbs and idioms and stuff like that that would help guide the story. And when I found that particular proverb, it just sits perfectly to the story. The ocean never swallows anyone with whose leg it has not come in contact. It simply tells you that nothing happens out of the ordinary. You must do something that sort of like leads to a myriad of many other things. If it's a positive thing that you do, it will lead to so many positive things. If it's a negative thing that you did, it will lead to so many negative things. And it comes in Nkechi's case, well, you have to watch the film to find out what she did.
Well, it sounds like you're in a place now that audio isn't going to work out too well. So I want to give you just a final minute or two, Nnamdi, to tell us what you wish we had gotten to in this interview.
Hold on. Let me find somewhere, very, very, because I'm outside. Let me go somewhere very.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I'll ask you this. I can't put it in the interview because it's a spoiler, but there's a final shot during the credits where the Iyuwa is being reburied, and it looks like it's a different young woman. So is that true? And is there going to be another film after this for that?
That is so cool. I really like how you're getting into like the nitty-gritties of this story. I love it. Yes, so I have intention. One of my biggest prayers, if you put it that way, my biggest prayer and my hope is that I am able to do a prequel and a sequel too. So now for the sequel, of course, I really want to go deeper into, because in some ways this whole folklore, this story, some sort of like feels like some kind of like time travel if you look at it very critically, or from if you come from the science fiction perspective, it still feels like time travel, going through time and comes to just going through times and all of that. So I really want to highlight that part. So in the sequel, we get to see a futuristic Kamsi. So that was what I put in the post credit. That scene you just talked about right now is just like a future Kamsi. You know, it just tells you the continuality of this idea of a child that is born over and over again. It's a constant. It doesn't stop. It continues. And so it just also tells you that if you look back in the film to remember when she had a miscarriage, there was a baby that died. That baby was different from the one that we see in the film. And then in the future, another different person. But one thing is constant is that they are all bearing the same Iyuwa, which tells you that it's the same person in different multiple forms coming over and over and over again. So that's them bearing the same treasure just tells you that it's the same person, but they come in different forms over and over and over again. So yes, in the sequel, it's going to be future Kamsi that comes back again, and it just continues over and over again.
Well, I also want to extol your filmmaking techniques. And I can't do too much of that without giving some stuff away. But Kamsi does enter the water world, and there is a scene with her and the Mother Queen, or the Queen Mother, who it's shot in blue. And I don't know what you did, but it was really effective, Namdi. Very
Thank you.
effective.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
I won't ask all your secrets, but
No, it's fine. I just it's the thing about that scene is, to be honest with you, before we shot that scene, I did not know how we were going to go about it, to be honest with you. I had the idea, I knew what I wanted, but I had no idea. I did not know how that was going to be done. I did not have an idea. I didn't have any inkling whatsoever how that scene was going to be shot. I just knew I wanted something that was in blue, that felt like underwater, but I just did not know how to go about it. So all props goes to my technical director, Jennings Barmore, who is also a Bozeman filmmaker. He's going to be there on the screening. He was the one that came up with that fantastic, brilliant idea to film the scene the way it was filmed. I'm not going to say anything now. Maybe on the dub screening, if I'm asked how, I might share how we shot that scene. You're not going to believe it was the most simplest way. The simplest way, I'm telling you, that thing was shot in a way that you would think we spent millions. Now, that was the simplest thing that was done in the whole film. So it's
Well,
just beautiful how something very simple can become something really, really beautiful. So, yeah.
like I said, I was very, very impressed with that. It was quite magical, quite magical. Now, you
Thank you.
brought up Jennings, and he has a lot of functions in the filmmaking process. I have to wonder, does Kamsi's love interest Jennings, is head named after Jennings? It's
But
gotta be.
I'm glad you asked this question, because Jennings is not someone who really likes people singing his praise. That just tells you how amazing he is as a human being. But I want to use this opportunity to also like sing his praise, because he never likes it. So thank you for asking that. And yes, it was my way of sort of like honoring him by naming a character after him. So Jennings was the one who made me make this film, to be honest. When I wrote the scripts, in 2021, when I had the first draft, I wasn't sure of what I wanted this to do with the film. I wasn't sure was if people were going to like it, because it was something new and different, So when Jennings read the script, he was like, "Man, you gotta make this film. You need to make this. This is a beautiful film that needs to be made. It's new, it's fresh, it's different. It needs to be made." And I was like, "Oh man, I'm not sure. I don't think they're gonna like it in Bozeman. I don't like. Just do it, man. Just do it." So he encouraged me to apply to the Big Sky Film Grant for the first time ever, and I got it for the first time ever. So when I got it and I made the film, so I was like, "I'm gonna find a way to celebrate you, because I know you don't like people, praising you. So I'm going to find a way to like give you some kind of credit, And so I named the character after, even though he's pissed off of how Jennings ended up in the film. But I was like, well, whatever. The character is concerned. Anyway, so throughout the filming process, when everybody just says Jennings in the film, he's just like, yeah, what? No, not you, not you. Not Jennings. He was so funny. It was so funny filming and while he was on set and just hearing his name all over every time. But yeah, Jennings Barrymore, yeah, the character was named after him, and I'm so grateful and blessed to have such an amazing person in the Bozeman film community support me throughout my career as a filmmaker in Bozeman.
Well, Jennings Barmore, we have you to thank that this film ever got even started. So thank you,
Exactly,
Jennings.
exactly,
All right,
exactly.
now, one other character that we haven't mentioned is Bozeman.
Yes.
What are some of the locations that people will recognize when they come to see your film, Water Girl?
Yes, oh yes, amazing. I love this. Bozeman plays a special part part in this film, not just as a place, but as a character, like you said, and also as a significant factor in Khamsi's development throughout the story. Bozeman helps her find herself. Bozeman helps her get to where she eventually became, where she eventually got to. And also, Bozeman is the end of both Nkechi and Khamsi. So for anybody, everybody that was going to come watch the film, you're going to see an amazing, a plethora of places. You know, there's going to be Bridger Care. If you've ever been to Bridger Care, Bridger Care is going to be there for sure. If you've ever gone to the Brigade to eat brunch, the Brigade is there for sure. If you have any loved one that was buried at the cemetery, on your way to Billings, there's a cemetery around that area. On your way to Billings, it plays a beautiful part. In fact, that was one of the biggest scenes in the film, is where they get to go do something. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but the cemetery plays a very big part in the film. There's also going to be I can't remember what that there are two fishing accesses that plays a big part in the film. I can't remember what the names are, but if you are someone that goes fishing a lot, you would know those fishing accesses a lot. The Axel fishing access, yes, I remember, very big part in the film. There's also
Pete's Hill.
What?
Pete's Hill.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yes. And some I can't remember everywhere, but there's so many places that play huge roles in the film. But if you watch the film, Emerson's. How can I ever forget the Emerson's? The Emerson's Cultural Center play a huge role in the film too. So yeah, there's so many. The Verge Theater. If you're someone that goes to the Verge Theater to watch our plays, the Verge Theater is also a place that plays a big role in the film. The Gallatin History Museum. Yes, the Gallatin. They're gonna deal with it, but I never mentioned this. The Gallatin History Museum, also beautiful place. But yeah, so many places are in the film. But if you watch the movie, I'm sure you're gonna see a lot of places that you recognize in Bozeman.
Well, Namdi Kanaga, final words for our listeners.
First of all, I'm so thankful to be able to make art in Montana. I'm so thankful to be able to share my story with everybody in Bozeman. So I want to say, please, on the 28th, please come out to the LN Theater and watch Water Girl. It's an amazing, amazing project. It's a film that needs to be seen by everybody. It's beautiful. I cannot overemphasize how beautiful the film is. And it's new, it's fresh, and it's a chance for us to be able to enjoy the African culture. That week is the week of World Africa Day. So it's a very great opportunity to come and celebrate African art, African culture, and also the beauty of the Bozeman, Montana space. Montana is just a very beautiful space, and almost anything can be done in Montana. So I'm really happy that I'm able to make this African film in a place like Bozeman.
And you're going to be doing a Q&A after the film on the May 28th at the Ellen's Theater, right?
Yes, definitely. You're going to get a chance to see the amazing Jennings. He's going to be there. Jennings is going to be there to talk with me. Also, another actor who is a local Montana actor, Jenna Sirali. He's going to be there too with me on stage. We're going to do a Q&A to talk about everything, the process, the how we made the film, the challenges, the beauty of the whole process, everything you want to know. Come with your questions, because I know there's going to be a lot of questions when you watch the movie. So we are going to talk about everything once the movie's over.
Well, Namdi Kanaga, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Goes to the Movies. And we look forward to the prequel and the sequel of Water Girl. Thank you so much.
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with the people.
You have just heard an interview with Namdi Kanaga, writer, director, and producer of the film Water Girl, which the Bozeman Film Society is screening at the Ellen Theater on Wednesday, May 28th. For tickets or more information, you can go to bozemanfilmsociety.org. Radio Goes to the Movies is a Beyond the Deep End production, hosted and produced by Joy LaClaire for broadcast and archiving on KGVM Bozeman and KGVM.org. Thanks for listening and for supporting our listener-supported Gallatin Valley Community Radio Station, KGVM.